today we are going to start a new lesson series, and we're going to be looking at the book of Hebrews. And I want to talk about understanding our faith. If you understand why the book of Hebrews was written, you begin to understand that the writer is going to talk to us about really the whole issue of your faith and what your faith is based in, which is Jesus Christ. The writer is writing a group of people. He's writing Jewish Christians who, because of severe persecution, were thinking about giving up their faith. They were thinking about walking back into the Mosaic Covenant, going back to the old way. And so he is trying to encourage them by deepening their understanding of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. He's trying to encourage them to stay in the faith. And so I thought this would be a good lesson for you and I to go through over the next few months. So today, with lesson one, we're going to be looking at the book of Hebrews, and we're going to do an introduction. So hopefully, when you came in, you got a study sheet, which kind of goes through all that we're going to talk about, and you can follow along with me or just look on the screen. And as always, if you look up at the corner of the screen, you will see a QR code that will take you directly to the YouVersion Bible app, to the lesson notes that we have there. So let's begin. So when we talk about introductory material for the book of Hebrews, the first thing we've got to talk about is who wrote it. Because when you look at the book of Hebrews, it is a very unusual letter in that it's one of the few where the author does not tell us who he is. You don't know who the author is. Now, that doesn't mean there isn't speculation. And of course, for centuries now, for a couple thousand years, there have been lots of discussion concerning who the author might be. So what we want to do right now is take a look at some of the suggested possible viewpoints that are out there concerning who the author is. So let's talk about his identity. So first of all, the authorship of the letter has been in doubt since its publication. So whenever this letter was written, and it was then circulated through the churches at the time, which would be circulated through Israel at the time, all the way up into Asia Minor and into Greece, it has been a question that has plagued the minds of the church: who exactly wrote this letter? So it's been in doubt. None of the early church fathers who mentioned the letter identify the writer. So in the first century after the apostles, whenever this letter was referred to by the church fathers in their teachings and in their writings, they mention the letter, they mention what the letter says, but they don't tell you who wrote it. That's what makes it so interesting. So no one has been able to identify the author. No one has been able. I know that there are folks today that swear that it is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul wrote it. Well, actually, what they're doing is they're standing on their viewpoint. And there's a lot of other material that could say, well, no, that viewpoint is wrong. And we're going to see that when we go through the different views concerning who the author is. To be very honest with you, arguing over who the author is, I think, actually takes away from what the letter is trying to say. I don't think it really matters at this point who the author is. Now, you're saying, wait a minute now, George, what do you mean it doesn't matter? Well, what I want you to understand is this letter was accepted by the early church from the beginning as being scripture. It was circulated around to the church. By AD 300, 320, when the canon, that is what we call the New Testament, became complete, it was identified by all of the churches as being a known scriptural letter. It was viewed as scripture. Nobody debated that. And so I don't think we need to worry about who the identity is. It's God's word. So let's talk about the internal evidence of this letter. What does it tell us concerning who the author is? Well, one of the things I want you to notice is that when we look at the text of Hebrews itself, it tells us something about the author. So for instance, he was a second generation believer. Now we know this from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. So I want you to notice with me the text. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. So whoever this writer is somebody who received the word from others who had witnessed or seen the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when we talk about this author, he obviously was a second generation believer. The other thing I want you to notice is that the author was probably a Greek-speaking Jew. And that is because of his understanding of the priestly office. We'll see that when we get into the letter. But he also seems to be and appears to be a Greek-speaking Jew. Now, why do you say that? Well, the author seems to rely upon the Greek version of the Old Testament, the Septuagint. Now, just like we have an English version of the Scriptures, in that day there were different versions of the Hebrew Bible, and that would be the Septuagint. Now, the Septuagint emerged out of Alexandria, which is in Egypt. Remember, it was a city established by Alexander the Great, thus being called Alexandria. And so it was a city of learning, and it was where the Greek text, the Greek version of the Hebrew scripture was put together. So it's very obvious from the internal evidence of the text itself that it relied upon the Greek version of the Old Testament. So therefore, this had to be a Greek-speaking Jew. Now, the other thing that's interesting is that the letter to the Hebrews contains Pauline teaching. So whoever this author is had to have been influenced by the Apostle Paul, or has very much been acquainted with the letters of the Apostle Paul. Because when you look at the text and you look at what is being written, it's very evident that this person has learning that came through the Apostle Paul. So it contains Pauline teaching. We also see from the text itself that the author knew the Pauline circle of friends, since he mentions Timothy. Remember, Timothy was a son, literally a son to Paul. Well, this author mentions Timothy, and we see that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 23. So again, notice with me what the text says. You should know that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom I shall see you if he comes soon. So it's obvious from the text itself that this writer knows Timothy. Now he's pointing out a couple things about Timothy that kind of help you to understand this is not necessarily Paul, but he's pointing out that Timothy was in jail. Well, we don't know that from the scripture that we have, either from the book of Acts or Paul's epistles, that Timothy at this point is in jail. The only person that we know that's been imprisoned is Paul. But we see that Timothy is being released, and he refers to him as our brother. Paul would usually refer to him as a spiritual son. So that's what we see here. So now let's move on to talking about exactly who has the church thought the author to be. So we're going to look at some of the early church positions. Now, I did mention that the early church fathers didn't mention who wrote the letter, but that doesn't mean that they didn't have opinions about the letter. And we're going to see that in various people that are mentioned. And so there's a whole host of them. And you can take a position on any one of them. Maybe you already have a position. That's okay. But let's talk about the whole issue of who the author is. So here's what I want you to notice. Those on the eastern shore of the Mediterranean Sea associated the letter with Paul. Now, if you think about the Mediterranean Sea, from one end being Spain and Gibraltar being the Bay of Gibraltar being there, all the way over to Israel, if you think about that, the eastern shore would be that area all the way through Israel, Lebanon, what we know as Lebanon today, down into Egypt. Those folks thought that the letter was associated with Paul. Now, those in North Africa, that would be from Egypt all the way over to what we would know as modern-day Libya or Carthage and so forth, those in North Africa held that Barnabas wrote the letter to the Hebrews. So that's very interesting. They think it was Paul's companion in his first missionary journey, that it was Barnabas, who, again, of course, would be Jewish, but possibly also a Greek-speaking Jew because he went on the journey with Paul into Greek areas. Now, those in the West had a view as well. Those in the West were unanimous in their thought that it was not Paul. So when you think about those in the West, that would be those over into Italy and then over into what we know, what was known as Gaul, but what was known today as Spain. They would say that it's not possible for it to be the Apostle Paul. Now, while the thoughts of the letter are Pauline, the language and the grammar is someone else's. So while he espouses and teaches and brings forth in his teaching in this letter very much things that are very similar to Paul's teaching, the way that it's written, the grammar and the language used appear to be somebody else. Now, let's talk about some possible candidates. We've already talked about some of them already with the different views in the early church, but let's just kind of go through the list. Some of these are going to be very familiar to you, and you might say, yeah, I can see that. I can see where that's the possibility. So let's take a look at some of the candidates now when we talk about the whole issue of who the author is. And of course, the first one, which is what some in traditional circles, even some within churches like ourselves, would hold to, it's the Apostle Paul. Now, like I said, this is the traditional view. This is the view that people would hold that he is the one who wrote the letter. Now, in fact, maybe some of you are aware of this, but the Scofield Reference Bible reads the Epistle of Paul, the Apostle, to the Hebrews. Now, you guys remember what a Scofield Reference Bible is? That used to be very popular 40 years ago, 50 years ago. For much of the 20th century, it was like the Bible to have for a layperson in a church, which because of the study notes. And so it listed the author as the Apostle Paul. Thus, that's why it tends to be the view that most hold to. Now, the Council of Trent, which is a Catholic council around the time of AD 1545 to 1563, identified Paul as the author. So here we have the Catholic Church, this is after the Reformation, identifying the letter of Hebrews as being written by the Apostle Paul. Now, it should be noted that there is a considerable theological difference between Paul's letters and Hebrews. Now, there's some similarity, I told you. There's some Pauline teaching that comes out. But there are some significant differences between the two letters, which, to be very honest with you, when you look at the other 12 letters of Paul, there is a consistency in his theology throughout those letters. But when we come to the book of Hebrews, the letter of Hebrews, it's a little bit different. Now, again, let's talk about some possible candidates. We've mentioned Paul. I've already referred to him earlier because the folks in North Africa hold that he is the one who wrote it. That is Barnabas, the son of encouragement, if you remember from the book of Acts. Now, Barnabas was a Levite who would be familiar with the priestly services. So it's very evident from Hebrews itself, this person understands the priestly functions or the priestly order because he talks about it. And we can point to Barnabas because he's a Levite. He would be very much aware of the priestly order and the functions of the priest and so forth. Let's talk about another possible candidate. This is going to be one that you might say, maybe it is. It's Apollos. Remember Apollos? He was the eloquent speaker that the Corinthians kind of pined away about him being a better speaker than Paul. Remember, he is the one when Priscilla and Aquila talked with him, asked him if he was baptized. He said no. He only knew the baptism of John. And so they helped fill in his theology. But he was an Alexandrian Jew. So he was from Alexandria. So, of course, the Septuagint would be something that he would be familiar with. So Apollos was a Jew, a native of Alexandria, and well-versed in the scripture. Apollos, being from Alexandria, would have been quite familiar with the Septuagint. Probably that was the scripture that he used. So when he wrote the letter, if he wrote the letter, this would be the context from which he is writing. Now, there are some other candidates. You could say, yeah, maybe Paul, but I could see what you're saying, George. The internal evidence maybe doesn't point to him. Okay, possibly Barnabas, he's a Levite. Okay, yes, you talked about some of the internal evidence about it being a Greek-speaking Jew who used the Septuagint. Yeah, Apollos fits that. Well, here's a candidate that has been proposed that I want you to consider, not saying that I would agree with it, but this is what some of the church folks have viewed through the years, and that is Luke. You remember Luke. Luke is the writer of the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, and he was a companion of Paul. So some church fathers believed that Luke translated Paul's original writing. So the viewpoint here is that Paul originally wrote it, which that's interesting. We'll talk about that in a moment. And that because he wrote it, Luke translated it into Greek. Now, here's the problem. The problem is with his other letters, Paul has not written any of them. He dictated his letters to somebody like Silas or somebody else to write them. Maybe at the end of the letter, because of his eye problem, he would write with big letters, he says in one letter. And so I don't think it's Paul writing this letter. Another reason why is Paul is a Greek-speaking Jew. He's from Asia Minor, so he would know Greek. That's how he was able to communicate throughout all of his missionary journeys. He spoke in Greek. He was part of the Hellenistic Jews. Those are the Jews who were Greek influenced. Why would he write in something other than what Luke would be able to write in? Because Luke is a Gentile. Here are some other possible candidates that you and I might consider. And that would be various members of Paul's circle of friends have been proposed. So somebody like Silas. Somebody else that is mentioned. Maybe it couldn't be Timothy because Timothy is mentioned by the writer as somebody that he would meet with later. So various members of the Pauline circle that would be influenced by Paul, but they are possible. Now, let's talk about the date of the letter, and I think that's very important for you and I to understand. When the letter was written. So first of all, the letter must have been written prior to AD 95 when Clement of Rome used it. Now, Clement of Rome was one of the early church fathers who wrote a lot of material. He is in the church fathers that are often mentioned. He mentions the letter, but he didn't begin his writing until AD 95. So we can already say that this letter was not written after AD 95. It had to be written before then. Now, just so you understand the whole issue of AD 95, remember, the Apostle John wrote his letters, that is his gospel, his letters, and the book of Revelation in the 90s. Okay, and he would have died in the 90s as the last apostle. And Clement would have known the Apostle John. So this letter had to be written before the 90s. The letter does not mention or refer to the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in AD 70. So because it talks about the priestly duties in the letter, it has to be written before AD 70 because it doesn't talk about the destruction of Jerusalem or the temple because it refers to the temple. So I want you to see, so it's got to be before AD 70, okay? Before AD 70. So the letter was written to Jews who dominated the church prior to AD 70. Now, what do you mean dominated the church? Remember, the early church was made up of primarily Jews, Jewish Christians, with Gentile believers. But when Rome destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, there is a shift in the makeup of the church beyond that point. Because again, the church at Jerusalem would be gone. It would no longer be the central church. Now, there are all these other churches that are out there throughout the ancient world around the Mediterranean Sea. They would become now prominently Gentile churches. So it has to be written to Jews before AD 70. So again, just letting you know, before AD 70. So the letter was probably written in the early 50s or 60s AD. Now, it's my view that this letter had to have been written after the Apostle Paul's death. Why do I say that? Well, it mentions in the text that we've already looked at that